Actually,
welcome, welcome to the Mid-Range Podcast. My name is Jacob Weiss. I'm here with Nick Geramonte and Bryce Buchanan. We got all three in the building for a special Feast Week episode. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm fired up. You just broke the news to me that we're going to do a women's episode today, and TCU had a big win over UTRGV for Mark Campbell's 100th win as a head coach. So, yeah, pretty fired up.
Congratulations to him. Congratulations to TCU women's basketball. What I love, you know, you got to appreciate a team that really puts culture first.
Bryce, of course.
Bryce, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just happy to be back on. Talk some ball. It's one of the best weeks of the year for Feast Week, so I'm pumped.
It is one of the best weeks of the year. We're back. It's Monday of Feast Week, so we got games going on right now. There's been empties starting all weekend, coming into last Friday. We got some big games this weekend via that. But I gotta say, I have an axe to grind with both of you. It's like we're pushing the podcast start time back 5 minutes, like minutes before we're supposed to start here. And then Bryce, well, yeah. You were supposed to be here on time, and then Nick's here before you. So this is like, it's getting all kinds of sloppy over here at the mid-range.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a time. We just get on here and talk. That's just how it works. Or that's what I got from it, anyways.
Wow.
Of course.
I thought you'd have like a little more southern. What's the word?
Late's on time here, so we're good.
True.
Of course.
Everything moves slower down there. Nick, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
Work ran a little bit late. That's pretty much it. What?
You haven't quit your job for this yet?
No, I haven't yet.
I thought we all agreed to that.
Yeah, I know. I thought so.
Well, I was still here. I was still here earlier, so it didn't really affect me.
I was putting in extra work for the pod. You just haven't seen it yet.
I appreciate it.
Well, that's in that case. That's all right. Let's push on. Let's start with a little quick review of the weekend. We had Purdue in the Baja Mar, almost losing on Thursday. Going kind of down to the wire with 1-3 Memphis, and then coming right back on Friday and absolutely stomping Texas Tech. I mean, it finished 86-56. What do we see from Purdue this weekend? And I think, are we all in agreement this is the best team in the country at this point? I think there's no way they disappoint from here on out, right?
I'm not going to go and say that they're the best team in the country, no, but they did dominate. They did dominate Texas Tech, my beloved Big 12 team, Texas Tech. But like you said, they say they had a scare on Thursday. But they look good. But it's too early to say they're the best team. You could end the season today, and they're the champions. We already did that with Kentucky in the preseason for their win over Purdue, actually, in the exhibition. So. As you can see, there's a lot of basketball left. I don't know if Kentucky fans know that or not.
I will say, though, I don't know. It's hard to say that anyone has even close to the quality that they've had through the first few weeks for Purdue. It's definitely shoving in my face some of what I said before the season. Nick validated constantly over and over, you're always right. Purdue, a 30-point win over Texas Tech. You were screaming about them being overrated all offseason. What do you have to say about this?
Yeah. I mean, Purdue is the best team in the nation, in my opinion. The ability to have seven players score double figures is unreal, and I think that could be a fairly consistent thing. And Oscar Clough has kind of been the X factor, and he was very good and improved a lot defensively, it looked like. And to drop 15 and 15 in a game like that is very encouraging. And then, like we talked about a lot with Tech, like they lost so much of last year that people are underrating. Like, Chance McMillan was legitimately arguably the best shooter in the country. He goes to the league. Obviously, Darren Williams, they aren't able to retain because they have to pay JT Toppin so much more than he was before just to retain him. And same with Christian Anderson as well. So they lost pretty much everybody. And they're bringing in guys that a lot of people are hyped on, and like LaJuan Watts is kind of supposed to be that third option, but he's just not that guy, and he really wasn't that guy at Washington State. So that hype was kind of overrated, at least for me. And Jacob, you know how it is when you have JT Toppin. The next day after, like, you can stay out. Like, I think Oscar Clough was like out at a steak dinner, having a couple of wines, and he still held him to only 15 points for guys making like $3 million a year. So I don't have to say too much because I've been high on Purdue and low on Tech, so this really didn't surprise me a crazy amount.
Yeah, it was. I think Tech definitely had some questions after their loss. It was at Illinois, right? And then, this was not good. I mean, Alabama fought a lot harder than this against Purdue. Like, this was complete decimation. And, like, say what you will about this Purdue team is the best team in the country. I agree. I think that's hard to argue with at the current moment. Probably Arizona is the only other team that has a debate for that. But, it is, like, you're talking about a Purdue team that did struggle with Memphis, did not look incredible against Oakland. Like, there is obviously some flaws here. So, you know, you get blown out by 30 points if you're Texas Tech. That was a team that came into the season as a top 12, I believe, team. It's not great. But on that note, let's push back a little bit. I realize we haven't talked since last Tuesday, so I wanted to go back to last Wednesday, where we had two great games to end the night. We had Arizona UConn, 2-5. Arizona takes down UConn in a big one, 71-67. What did you guys take from this game? I'll start with you, Bryce. But what did you see here from Arizona? Now 5-0.
Yeah.
What? Two wins over top three teams now? Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think they're the only team right now that you can put up there with Purdue, just from looking at the teams that they beat. Going into UConn and winning that game is impressive. Jaden Bradley looked fantastic. Coach Pete, obviously, he's been fantastic all year. It was a really good win for them. And to now beat Florida, you've now beat UConn. UCLA, it's a fantastic start for Arizona, and like I said, I think they're the team that's up there with the upper echelon with Purdue, and I think those two teams this far into the season are the teams to beat, I guess you could say. So just what an impressive win from them. I was personally on UConn that game, so say I was a bit surprised just with it being at home for UConn. It was and the travel to get definitely, and all that stuff that goes into it. So impressive win by Arizona.
We should note UConn definitely had a couple of guys out. Terrace Reed obviously did not play. Yeah. Byron Mullins did not play. So that is definitely a big difference maker for them, not having two of their key contributors. But nonetheless, this Arizona team goes into Connecticut. And Nick, once again, I hate to say it, but you're always right.
Arizona, man.
it's Arizona. You called it for the season. There's a great clip on our TikTok of just you being like, this team's awesome. This team's better than everyone thinks. So, I mean, I'll give you the floor. How validated are you feeling right now? Did you think they were this good?
Yeah, I didn't think they were this good. But like both teams, I'm still very high on out of this game. Arizona, it's a thing where if you listen to Tommy Lloyd preseason and all the interviews he gave, like, the big criticisms here were the lack of guys that they brought in to address the portal and address the guys that left last year. But he was so confident in these freshmen to be able to be better than some of the top transfers that were coming in. And it's been crazy because the freshmen haven't been good or, like, that great over the past few years of college basketball, and it's been transfers and older guys, and guys aren't really dipping into that portal. Obviously, this year is completely different, though, because this class is elite. And, yeah, the ability of Pete and Burries, who hasn't even been, like, good yet. Like, he's still scratching the surface of how deep this freshman class can also be, and Creevy's coming back, and Bradley's taking that next step. Like, everything's falling into place for this team. And it's encouraging because, yes, it's Pete who's, like, the star freshman and all that kind of stuff, but it can be a different player every night. Like, Bradley could be their best player. And they all fit Lloyd's system so well. So, yeah, I mean, Zona is going to be up there for Big 12 contention. Like, we're watching Houston right now go to overtime with Syracuse, and while it's a Syracuse team that's better than people thought, like, it's still it's not like Houston. Like, I'm very high on Houston, but it's not like Houston is a big juggernaut in Arizona. Like you guys said, rightfully so, should be up there with the talk of the best teams in the nation. And on the UConn side, it's like Dan Hurley wasn't even upset about this loss at all post-game. Yeah. Like he was cracking jokes and all that kind of stuff. And to your point, Weiss, like bringing up Terrace Reed and Braylon Mullins, like these are two massive pieces of their team. Mm-hmm. So while it's impressive for Arizona to beat this UConn team as it is, like I think Hurley still likes the guys that he has there, and once Mullins and Reed come back, like they're gonna be a force. So it's just this is a battle of two really good teams, and it'll be exciting to see what both these teams come of it.
I definitely think you can look at it for Arizona, you went into a top three team's house and you got a win. If you're a UConn, you can say, all right, two of our best six players were out tonight, and we went down to the wire with what's a top five, top 10 team, if not a top three, as they are right now. So yeah, it was definitely not a nightmare scenario for UConn, but definitely like this Arizona team is legit, and they're going to be a lot of fun as the season goes on. But let's push onwards on Wednesday. And Nick, I want to get back to Houston later, because like you said, they are in overtime with Syracuse right now, and I want to talk about them in general. But I do want to talk about one more game from Wednesday night. Alabama heads to the United Center in Chicago to play Illinois. They end up coming out with a win, 90-86. LeBaron Filon, Nick.
LeBaron Filon.
He's fucking right.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to keep doing this. Like, this is too much. But, yeah, Filon's really good. He's an NBA player playing college basketball, and he's up there with the best players in the nation. I might put him as the second best guard in the nation besides Braden Smith. And there's so many damn good guards this year in college basketball. Which is completely fair. This is a really good Illinois team too. And Tommy Slava's playing, but he obviously wasn't 100%. And the thing that's so impressive is that, look, like that was a complete. It was at the United Center, yes, but Illinois packed that place out. Yeah. Like it was a true road game, and to be able to have poise and to turn to Filon at the end of that game over and over again, like it's just perfect fit for what Nate Oates is trying to do. And awesome. It's just Filon, LeBaron, Filon, LeBaron, Filon, LeBaron, Filon, and I mean, like Kai Boswell is one of the best defensive guards in the country, and for Filon to do that against the backcourt of Boswell and Stojakovic and, you know, all the guys Illinois has, it just goes to be even more impressive. And all the questions about, you know, him being the guy and Mark Sears gone, all that kind of stuff, I think is answered. And like, we know just how good Alabama is now. Like, it's they're going to be really good, and this Bama Gonzaga game is going to be super fun to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Any takeaways from Alabama-Illinois, Bryce, before we move on to a little preview?
Yeah, there's not much else to say. I think Nick kind of went over everything. Is LeBaron Filon. That's kind of all you have to say. If Alabama is shooting the way they shot 36% from three, if they're hitting 13 threes in a game, there's not many times that they're going to lose if they're shooting the ball well. And that's what they did. They, you know, defense has never been their big thing. They allowed 86 points in this game, but they outscore people. One thing I'll say on Illinois is Stojakovic is continuing to impress, 26 points in this game. We love on the podcast. We love on the mid-range, as we love free throws, and Illinois shot 59% from the free throw line, and if they hit their free throws, they probably win the basketball game. So, you know, that's just the little things that you got to continue to do as the season goes on. You would think that, as the season goes on, they'll start making more free throws and stuff like that. But, just super impressed with Alabama. They got so many dudes. The way Nate Oates' system runs, this team really fits that. And shout out to Nate Oates for playing the schedule that they played so far. Not many teams do that in the four games that they're playing in the past, you know, two or three weeks. It's been impressive and how they've kind of hung around and won those games. So super 100%. Impressed with Alabama so far.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Alabama's awesome. I think they're right there. In terms of, like, proven, I mean, they're, even though they have a loss, like, they're right there with these top teams. Just they're beating these top teams. So, like, they beat St. John's and then you beat Illinois. That's really, really impressive. St. John's, maybe more questions than we thought coming into the season. But let's move on to that. So we got MTEs in full force today. Maui Invitational's on. You know, you got your Sunshine Slam and your Coconut Hoops and whatnot, and then you come on down to this great event we're having in Vegas, where, you know, the entire court is just covered in advertisements. It's like a giant ad for MGM, and we're supposed to act like this is like the saving grace of college basketball, and it's the Players Era. The Players Era has been talked about for a long time, and we have the like real big one starting this year with all of these massive teams in it. There's some kind of rev sharing system, I know. I don't know, where are you guys at with the Players Era? Are you into this idea? Is it fun for you? Does it feel a little plastic? Bryce, you could start yourself. Sorry.
Yeah, I think for me it definitely feels a little plastic. I mean, the feast week is supposed to be the Mauis and the Bahamar, and I know that that's still going on, but the Maui this year doesn't have those teams that the Players Era has that they normally have, and I think that takes a little bit away from it. But the idea that you do get 18 really, really good basketball teams in one spot to play 3 days out of the, you know, feast week, it is fantastic, and it's a fantastic idea, but it definitely doesn't have that feel to it as a feast week, like you said, with all the advertisements that are being pushed on you, and the whole like system that you have to go through to get to the championship. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how that works, and the point differentials. Like, I'm sitting there today, you know, pushing for Tennessee to continue, keep pushing on to get more points to try to push on to get to this next stage and stuff. So that stuff, it kind of overcomplicates it a little bit, but for the sake of good games, it's awesome, but it definitely takes away a little bit of that feast week feel for me. But it, you know, that's what it is now. It's all about NIL. I think there's a pretty big pot at the end if you do win it all, or however that works, but definitely doesn't have that feast week feel as like the Maui and the Bahamar and things like that have.
Yeah, the Maui field this year is a bummer. I don't think there's really like any relevant teams in it for the foreseeable future in the next 10 years or so at all, really. No, there's not one that I can think of. But Nick, I'll turn it to you here when it comes to the Players Era. Are you into it? You loving it? What's your status? It's been some great games.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's just a reality of the situation of college basketball. Like, the Maui and Battle for Atlantis and all this kind of stuff is amazing, but like the cost for the school to go to Maui, for example, is like $3 million, and then you're playing three games back to back to back, which is tough on the scout. You know, we saw UConn, obviously, was kind of the big example that everybody uses, that they lost three games last year and kind of derailed their season. They're also paying $3 million to go out there and do the whole Maui thing. Like, and when you're the Players Era and you're investing $20 million to give to these, you know, to schools for NIL and this rev sharing stuff, it's just an unbeatable formula at this point. I wonder how long they're going to be able to maintain it, because there's just no way with the demand of college basketball that you're going to profit off of a $20 million endeavor for a middle of the season tournament. But as of right now, like, it's cool because they announced a contract with the Big 12 today to, I think, involve 8 Big 12 teams moving forward, which is cool for, you know, if TCU could make it onto that field selfishly. But, like, it's – I don't know.
But even
yeah,
that, isn't that kind of, like, anti the whole – fun of the feast week?
Yeah,
it's like you have all these random teams playing each other, and it's like, so now is it they're gonna have it, it's gonna be like Houston Kansas in the final or something, and it's not even
yeah no like, but if we're being real with ourselves, like the pageantry of college sports has been fading and will continue to be fading. Yeah. And it just doesn't make sense from a risk perspective for these schools to do it. So yeah, it sucks. Like, it's not fun to like look forward to the players era just because more money's involved for these guys, but it's the reality of the situation, and it's providing the best matchups this feast week. So, I mean, we're all going to watch it as college basketball fans. Yeah.
No, 100%. It's tough with college sports now because, on one hand, you could argue in terms of, like, talent and excitement and, like, energy, it's actually as good as it's ever been from just, like, a sporting standpoint. But then everything surrounding it fucking sucks so bad. Like, it's like every what's happening on the court is awesome. Like, it, like college football and college basketball, it is as good as it's ever been. Like, I don't, I genuinely believe that bottom of my heart. But like, man, like, why, like, this Matt, I don't know. It's in like, everything's in Vegas. Like, it's just like, Jesus Christ, guys. Like, we have these kids are 19 years old. They're playing on a court that's just plastered with gambling advertisements. It's like, and this a little ironic. Is anyone like seeing the irony in this? Like, or am I feel like a crazy person watching it, but like, seriously, like, awesome games today. Like, let's get into it a little bit, because we had some great ones that wrapped up earlier. But let's just start off. No offense, I'm going to skip the Tennessee game because, you know, Rutgers is not that interesting. But I do want to talk about St. John's, Iowa State. Goes down to the wire. Iowa State pulls out a big win. How do you say his name? Momcilovic? Unreal
Milan
game.
Momcilovic
was awesome. Unbelievable. Just couldn't be stopped in this one. Like, no one on St. John's had an answer for him. I'm been disappointed in St. John's. I will say I thought that Dylan Darling played well when he was in. He fouled out, so they didn't have a point guard down the stretch, which has been obviously an issue for them, and it definitely seemed like an issue at the end of this game. Also, all-time bad beat in this one. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was
pissed.
Yeah, -2.5, and he shot the a buzzer-beating layup to make him yeah. lose by one, which is hysterical. Yeah. Brutal. But, Bryce, why don't we start with you? St. John's sputtering here, 2 losses in their first 5 games. Ooh, I mean, obviously it's close, but what do we see of Rick Pitino and St. John's? Is this a title contender? Is this or should we readjust our expectations for the Johnnies?
No, I don't think so. I don't for me, coming into the year, I always said that it's going to take some time for this team to gel just because of how many transfers that they did bring in. And I think it's continuing to take some time to gel. I think you see the talent there. I mean, Ian Jackson didn't have a great night tonight. Bryce Hopkins did. Zubi Ejiofor had a great night. Mosiah Sellers had a great night. But like you said, the point guard position's been an issue for them. And down the stretch tonight, it was an issue. I think it's going to continue to take time to gel for this team. Rick Pitino's going to have them going. I don't know if they're at that national title contender just from what I've seen so far, but it's just hard to not, you know, put any team in that just yet because it's just too early. You know, like I was listening to the Houston game earlier. They lost 3 games. I think they're like 4-3 last year at one point to start the year, and they made the national championship. So it's just so early to like ride a team off up to this point. I think as they continue to gel, they'll get into Big East play. They'll be fine. I trust Rick Pitino. I trust the talent that they have around them. And they played a really good, you know, Iowa State team today. They played tough teams. Their losses have been to really good teams in Alabama and Iowa State. So it's, you know, tough teams. These are going to be great, you know, different style of plays against their in matchups, and they're going to learn a lot from it and going back and watching film. So no, I'm not going to write the Johnnies off yet. I think they'll be fine as they continue to gel.
Nick, I know you were kind of beating the drum for Iowa State, and as we both know, you're always right. What did you think?
Well, I was wrong about St. John. I mean, in Jackson, let's just pour one out. Let's just take a moment.
You're calling it. You're calling it.
No, I'm not. It
has not been great. Well, it seems like Patino hates his guts, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's really what it is.
But, like, we see Patino guys, like, you could see, like, Hopkins and Sand and Zuby are balling. You go back to R.J. Lewis last year, his damn Big East player of the year, and gets benched in the tournament. So guys go in and out of that Patino doghouse. So maybe buy stock on in Jackson. But, I love what TJ does. I mean, at this point, it's not, like, cute anymore or any surprising. Like, you know what these TJ teams are going to be at Iowa State. And they're the same teams every year. And his ability to retain talent, like Lipsy and Momchilovic. And, you lose Keyshawn Gilbert and Curtis Jones last year, who are two of your best scorers. And it seems like you don't blink an eye. Like, this is their first real opponent they played. So take it with a grain of salt. But, like, Josh Jefferson, also one of the most underrated players in the country, really. He's just so strong and so dependable, and such a perfect fit for TJ, and kind of the only, like, St. Mary's transfer to really be better off post Randy than before him, which is funny. But I mean, that big three alone is great, and then you see guys like Buchanan and Heisey, and I don't know, these guys take a step here to fit roles that, like I mentioned, were departed from last year. So, they lost a lot, but with the culture TJ's built, like, you're always going to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt in bouncing back from those. And so far, so good, and getting a win over a very good St. John's team who, is going to be good.
Yeah, I was definitely very impressed by Iowa State. And I'm going to say this right now. I'm not burying St. John's, but, like, I am going to call into question, like, why did Patino not call a timeout on the last play? Like, what's going on there? Like, why is Zuby Ejiofor taking a step back three with the game on the line? Like, it's completely illogical when Isaiah Sellers is hitting shot after shot after shot all game. Like, little stuff like that, it's the type of stuff that happens when you don't have a leader on the court, like, let's say a point guard or just some kind of, like, guy that can bring the ball up and be an offensive creator. They don't have that. They have a lot of guys who are great off ball. They need an on ball player that can move the ball, and Dylan Darling can be that in, I think, short minutes, but he is not good on defense and he's not that athletic. So he's not really optimal against these great teams anyway. So, like, they have a massive hole at maybe the most important or second most important position in basketball. So I am definitely calling that into question. Massive hole, gaping hole at point guard. But we can move on now from that dirty talk.
I do want to talk about a little bit, you know, with Bryce here about Tennessee, because Ament and Gillespie are insane, and I think they deserve a little bit of, like, we got to butter them up a little bit, because Ament and Gillespie are everything that everyone wanted them to be.
Yeah. I know, but I would be into it, but it's like, Nick, like, we don't talk about our teams that much at all. So that's, I don't know, true, why we should have to, like, let him do the whole
that's
thing.
That's true.
But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think today was Tennessee's most complete game. The first half was the best half of basketball we've played all year. Gillespie had 23 in the first half. I think Ament had 15 or 17, something like that. Ament started slow. He actually turned down a few shots that kind of frustrated me, a few open threes. He's not shot the ball well from behind the arc to start the year, but it's there, and he showed it today as he went on and kept shooting that he can hit shots from behind the arc. And but Jacoby, and I've been harping on this, I've been trying to tell people, dude's a star. 32 today. He's shooting shots from Curry range, and they look, it's not forced either. It's just, that's his range. So pure. He's starting to really run the offense, but we're seeing that the offense runs through him. And then when people start focusing on him, that's when you can get Nate involved, and that's what happened today. They were really focused on Jacoby, so they left Nate open, and Nate hit shots. Also great to see JP Estrella back on the court today. It was a really, really big scare when he went down last week. He's going to be a key piece to this team's potential and this team's ceiling. Come out today with 10 points. I think he only played 10 minutes. Had a monster jam in the at the end of the half. And Felix Okpora is finally playing better as well. It was an all around good game from the whole team. Granted, it's Rutgers. They're not, you know, the greatest competition, but it's our first Power Four game that we've seen Tennessee play outside of the exhibition against Duke, and I came away impressed. When you hold a team to 60 points, regardless who they are, and you score 85, and you see a Rick Barnes team score 85 and score 56 in the first half, you come away impressed. I think this team is going to be different than other teams when it comes to the offensive end. I think they have more star power, and it starts at the point guard position, and that's no harp on Zakai. I just don't think he's not as good a scorer as Jacoby. He never was, and he never will be. Yeah. And Jacoby is that. Jacoby is going to be their main guy, and him and Nate are just going to continue to feed off each other. They're one of the best duos in the SEC, if not the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest difference between Gillespie and Ziegler is, like, Ziegler was probably like a D2 player, and Jacoby's a Power 5 starter, so that's credit to him. No, he's unreal. Like, he is so much fun to watch too. Like, I mean, he is, like, he's just a sniper, and like, he's got balls. Like, he'll take that shot like full confidence. He's definitely got a little not to push too lofty conversations, but he's got a little Clayton, a little Walter Clayton to him, I think. Like, just the way he shoots it off the dribble, the way he pulls from anywhere. And then Ament, man, I mean, his size in, like, athleticism, it is, like, just pure freak of nature. Like, NBA superstar build stuff. Not that he's going to be an NBA superstar, but just, like, the physical attributes. And, like, it seems like when he puts his head down and attacks and he uses, like, the physicality he can, you can't stop him because his arms are so long. It's like, he's a real freak. I mean, Tennessee, like, Tennessee might be shooting up the rankings here the next few weeks, especially depending on how this players era goes for them. I'm not just trying to gas you up here, but I genuinely think that they looked awesome. And, like, yeah, Rutgers isn't exactly not exactly Duke, but this is a real Division I college basketball team in the best basketball conference in the world. So,
and yeah, last thing I'll say on just today in general is today is the first day I think we've seen Jacoby actually be aggressive and showcase his actual true offensive ability. And he's averaged, I think, 16 or 17 points a game outside of today. He's capable of maybe not going for 32 every night, but he's capable of doing that night in and night out. To have the confidence to shoot the shots that he did today when Rick Barnes is your coach is fantastic for me, because a lot of the times if you shoot a bad shot in this Rick Barnes system, he's going to pull you, because it's truthfully to get the best shot. It's not to get the first shot, it's to get the best shot. But to showcase the confidence there, and like you said with Nate, he had one play today where he caught the ball back to dude down and did a turnaround and got an and one from the corner, and it was just that's an NBA move. You see it every night in the NBA, and I was just like, he's an NBA player, so strong. He doesn't look strong, but he's physical. And once he gets the basket, he can finish and get to the foul line, which is key.
From like 30 feet out off one dribble.
Yeah,
like he's just like so long.
He's long.
Yeah.
Yeah, so long.
He is.
Nick, anything on the Volunteers here?
Yeah, I think you guys said it all. And it's such a fun time, I think, in Tennessee's season, because they haven't played anybody yet, and Rutgers isn't a good team. But to see that performance against the first like power conference team, it is very encouraging, especially going into Houston tomorrow and then the rest of the players' era. And then right after the players' era, they play Syracuse, Illinois, and Louisville. Like, it gets real here soon, where it's a very, very tough schedule. And look, I think Tennessee is going to win the majority of these games, but I think they're underrated at 17 in terms of the broad national spotlight. But like, these games are tough, and we're going to see just how good they are soon. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be no short of Tennessee talk through the next month.
What'd you guys think of the top 25 that came out today? But like, I know that's a sidetrack from like what we're talking about, but like, was it like Michigan at 7?
Pull it up.
Michigan at 7. Like, here's what I saw. I was like, what? Michigan at 7.
They got a tough one.
They do have a good road win.
They
do have a good road win.
Yeah, here's your gift for beating TCU by 4 points. You get to move up in the rankings. Actually, stayed stagnant. But
speaking of teams who've won at TCU, New Orleans beat Tulane by 20. And I don't know if y'all are watching this SEC game right now, but they're up on Mississippi State in the second half right now. So maybe that loss, maybe that loss isn't as bad as we. Master P might be cooking up something over there. So just throwing that out there. I know that's completely relevant to what you're talking about. My one thing with the AP Top 25 is the Gaels. The Gaels and the Buckeyes, they're sitting there with 27 and 26 receiving votes. And all this SEC bias is getting in the damn rankings and from these little conferences of the Big Ten and the WCC just sitting there. Free the little guys. That's all I want to say. Like, how is Kansas getting more votes?
I was about to say that. Kansas and Wisconsin, Oregon getting more votes than St. Mary's and Ohio State. That's not right.
I think that's what everybody was thinking. And well, Santa Clara, too.
Why is Kentucky even ranked?
Because they're exactly. Kentucky.
Honestly, like, it's
SEC
like,
bias.
It's
fucking
SEC bias. It's fair. I'm not going to.
SEC bias. Just blaming everybody.
It's all this SEC bias, and it's getting it. It's messing with my sport. It's.
It means more. It just means more. It just means more.
Like, Ohio State, like, free the little guys. Like, Ohio State
exactly.
is just working, is working up. Like, every feels so bad for them because they're, you know, they get no investment into their athletic programs. And
tortured fan base.
Like, give them something. Yeah. All they want right now. There's nothing else this week that matters. Is it getting
truthfully, there really isn't.
Oh my
God! There's not. Well, we got Mount St. Mary's. Mount St. Mary's tomorrow, so that's pretty much the game of the week for us.
Game of the week.
Game of the week. Is that why you cross out the M's for Mount St. Mary's? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that why
exactly.
you cross out the M's? That's what I thought. I figured that. I just didn't know.
We're actually technically it's an MTE. We are in an MTE with Mount St. Mary's in Western Michigan. that's our feast week.
What's the tournament called?
It's the Ohio State MTE.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
They played each other yesterday, and Western Michigan beat Mount St. Mary's by like 30. So I will see how tomorrow goes. I don't want to talk too much because they also went to overtime in Maryland. But we'll see what happens. I'm not too worried. All right. Let us move on. Let's push forward. Let's go into some general team stuff for Feast Week. Because you know, season's pushing a little bit. We got some action here. I want to talk about one team in particular that we just watched win an overtime game. You know, they weren't on my list, but we might have to get into them. But there is one team that I got major questions about, I think, and I had them number one in the country coming into the season. Nick, I think you had the same. What the hell is going on with Houston?
They're undefeated.
Sure. They beat Auburn by one, and they go to overtime with Syracuse without Donnie Freeman.
Beat a tough SEC team by one.
What do we think is this? Yeah, good point. That actually boosts their resume. But yeah, where are we at with Houston? Is this still the number one team in the country, Nick? Is this the top three team in the country? Where do you have them coming from our preseason perspective?
Well, Purdue's better. But I think Houston. I'd put Houston still at two. I mean, they're still
okay.
Six
Houston
and
versus Arizona.
Houston. Because I just think it'll take. I don't know. I mean, everyone knows Miles Yuzan's a second half player. Like, he's gonna get better as the season goes on. That's just what he does. And then Kingston Flemings and Chris Sinek are freshmen, so they're gonna get better as well. So,
yeah, but Flemings. I mean, Flemings went 3 of 11 today, but Flemings and Sinek have not exactly been the problem. You know, like, they've been playing.
Yeah,
they played amazing against Auburn.
That's
so, like,
true.
Like, I know you're a big, like, Uzan comes on down the stretch, but, you know, Tugler, Sharp, like, these are guys that have been there for a while, and it's just, like, it seems like they're moving, like, lethargically. Like, is it, like, I mean, it could just be as simple as it's a little hangover, like, they went to the finals, you lose in the finals, it's hard to build yourself back up, and it's going to take time, and that's fair. But I will say I'm a little I'm hesitant to have Houston. Like, if we had Houston versus UConn right now in a Elite Eight matchup, I'd take UConn. I will say
and
that.
That's fair, and that's the value of opinion. But I think they miss Cryer and Roberts.
That's what makes
Roberts.
This podcast so good.
I think they miss Cryer and Roberts.
There's no arguments.
More. Yeah, there's not. Yeah, no, I respect both you guys greatly, and I think Houston, but I personally am going to give Sampson the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's, you know, he's undefeated right now. He literally could not be doing a better job. He's won every game, so so I don't know why we're questioning them. But yeah, they may miss
Cryer. Did they finish the players era undefeated?
No.
Oh, I was waiting for that. Oh my God. We have a. Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna tell a lot. Yeah, they're honestly. Yeah, I think Tennessee is gonna.
It's belt to ass for Tennessee tomorrow.
I 100% agree. Yeah. Like, Houston's showing weaknesses. They're going to overtime with Syracuse. Like, Tennessee took care of business today. They're going to get well rested. Like, Houston's, you know, they just had to claw and scrape for a win over an ACC team. Like, there's no way Tennessee doesn't just beat them by, what, minimum 20? Like,
yep.
Kelvin
Houston
Sampson,
money line.
I think has lost his fastball.
Houston money line. Go ahead and lock it in.
I'm ready to ride him.
Lock it in. Lock it in.
What do you think, Bryce? Where are you at with Houston?
I think they're fine. Scrappy win today. I think Syracuse is a little bit better than we think they are. I know they were without their best scorer today, but good teams find a way to win, and that's what they've done so far. They're 5-0. They've won close games. That's just going to help them as the year goes on. Uzan's a beast. 26 points tonight. Emmanuel Sharp, 26 points tonight. I think Tugler has to show a little bit more. He's obviously a fantastic on the defensive end, but definitely need a little bit more of an inside presence from him on the offensive end. And will we get that? I don't know. I don't think he's shown anything to this point to prove that to me yet. But Houston's fine. 5-0. Won, you know, a really, really, you know, big game against Auburn, against a really, really good SEC team, with a really, really good first year coach in Stephen Pearl. And I think it was in Birmingham too. So, and then you beat a good, you know, Syracuse team. So, well, maybe not good, but a Syracuse team. So, but yeah, first test tomorrow against you know, the top echelon of college basketball at, you know, against Tennessee. So we'll see. I think we're going to find out a lot about both teams tomorrow with Tennessee and Houston. So,
all right, I love it. I love it.
Think
it's
Syracuse. Key and Anthony Cooper. Like, Carmelo's child is a hooper. He's way better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Is he?
He's a dude.
Is he? Is he a dude?
He is. I'm watching him play, and I'm like that guy's a dude.
The only stat that stands out to me.
Every time he has the ball. Jesus Christ.
But you can tell. Like, you can tell. Like, you can just tell, like, he's going to be
killer instinct,
an NBA star.
I believe I predicted that he would be off the team after the season. So we'll see if that proves correct. I will say I did say Syracuse was the most underrated team in the ACC in our ACC preview. So maybe I know more than you think. But Donnie Freeman didn't play today, and he's like the man. So yeah, you go to overtime with Syracuse without your best player, and then you guys are like, "Oh, Houston's still really good." Like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you convince me.
Gillespie comes knocking tomorrow, and Nate Ament comes knocking tomorrow because. Because it's Tennessee by 30 tomorrow. We're moving the line up.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I agree.
Let's go.
Once again, though.
Miles Juzang comes on late. Second half, and though.
Once again, if Syracuse hits their free throws tonight, they win the basketball game. I mean, 12 for 29, 41%.
That's crazy.
What are we doing? Do we not practice those? Like, God. Yeah, okay. They get paid. They're not. Yeah. We can harp all they want. They're pros now.
They are. It's not great, but we'll see what happens with Houston from here on out. We had the first unranked team to beat a ranked team today, which is kind of crazy. 4 weeks into the four weeks into the year, Seton Hall 6-0 takes down North Carolina State, number 23 in the country. And what is this, MTE?
That's the Maui, right?
It's the Maui.
Oh, is it? Is it the Maui? Okay, yeah.
NC State was like favored to win the Maui,
Yeah. Seton Hall looks awesome. I think we pretty much. I think Nick had a little spiel about them in our Big East episode.
I may have.
Hate to say it.
Because they have underrated talent. Like
but you also have, you're also pretty into NC State, so I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. NC State was also a big team of mine, and like you mentioned in the chat earlier, like you want to see more out of D5, and he'll give you more. But yeah, I mean, with the Big East being so, like, the Big East sucks this year, and they could very well be a two-team bid in the NCAA tournament. Like, that's not, like, the craziest thing to say, I think, because it's UConn and St. John's on a massive drop-off. But, like, I think Georgetown has been very impressive, and I think you have to throw Seton Hall in that next-tier conversation where it's, like, they are dangerous and live to make the tournament at this point. Like, you beat a ranked team, and if they handle business in Maui, a weak Maui field, like, if you can beat NC State in this Maui field, you can beat anybody. That would be huge, and I think you really have to start taking them seriously. So it's encouraging, and, you know, obviously Holloway's like a very likable coach and a guy who I think everybody agrees does it the right way. So it's a team that I think a lot of people can root for, and, yeah, it's cool.
Well, I will say, we're talking about the Big East, like the middle of the conference, like your Marquette's, Villanova, Providence kind of all look like shit, but, like, Butler – beat Virginia last night. Like, Thad Matta has these guys flying. They're 5-1. Only losses to 6-0.
Butler, Seton Hall, Georgetown.
Yeah, Georgetown's been awesome. I mean, they might have the bids. It's just not coming from where you thought before the season. I mean, Marquette's pretty much, like, looks dead to rights. But, yeah, this bottom of the Big East might be a little stronger than people thought. With Butler and Seton Hall, but also it's like, if you're NC State, do you think maybe we push the hype train a little much for them before the season, or is this just a classic early season loss?
A little too much, as we talked about. Maui is extremely tough, and it's so early in the year with the first year head coach that it's one of those teams that I think you buy stock on, and like once they figure out how to play with each other, they'll be good later on in the year because it's a completely new team. So I think it's more of that than anything. And again, like, D5 got in foul trouble, and you know how much I love D5. So once he plays more minutes, I guess we're comfortable in there. He's gonna be a star. He already is a star, but you know what I mean.
Maybe take more than 8 shots if you're a star coming down the stretch. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Bryce, I know you were also kind of an NC State guy coming into the season, if I remember that correctly. Where are you at with the Wolfpack?
kind of like Nick said, they'll be fine. I do agree that Darren Williams needs to take more shots than 8 shots if he's going to be the guy for NC State, and he has to do that for them to win, as we saw today. But it's just one of those early season losses. They're going to continue to gel. First year coach, brand new team. That's just how college basketball is now. With you know, new players every year from, you know, different teams every year. Yeah, they'll be fine. I would buy stock while it's low, because I think they'll end up being, you know, I don't know, middle of the pack of the ACC. I think they'll be, you know, right behind. They're going to be behind Louisville and Duke and, heck, UNC at this point, even though I don't want to say anything good about them. I've been a hater, so I can't say anything good.
UNC. If only someone had tried to tell you. Better than you think. But yeah. let's go Uno. But yeah. Master P. He is the master. Yeah, it's tough. NC State is like, I did not have the same enthusiasm for NC State. I don't think it's either of you, but I know it's Nick. I think when we talked to ACC, I said I thought they might be a little disappointing just because of the abundance of preseason hype they were getting. I don't know if that's any fault of their own necessarily. I think, like you said, in theory, Will Wade should have the time to get his system in place and get the players he needs. But it's also it's not like he doesn't have the talent. And it's like, if you're Darian Williams in a big game in Maui with the eyes on you, you're supposed to be a National Player of the Year contender. So, you know, I would expect more from him. I don't want to harp on, like, the fact that he only took 8 shots. It's just you just got to play better than that. You have to be more aggressive.
And he knows that. And he knows that.
He does. You're right. And they'll be fine. I agree. But I there are definitely some questions. But now in the Maui, we got – so
Boise. Let's
see here.
Boise.
Boise won. Did they beat Arizona State?
Nope. Boise lost to USC.
Oh, yeah, they lost. Damn. They were going to win it.
Boise lost
to USC.
They're
my pick
before it. Thanks.
I like Boise.
You know, there's a D2 team in the Maui field this year?
Yeah, Chaminade.
Yeah.
Do you not know about that?
I went to high school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. I should post that on Twitter. That would be, like, a great, like, rage bait.
Yeah, that's a great rage bait. They, like, the biggest upset ever.
Yeah. People would not like that. Out of this field, Maui, I guess it's USC... Seton Hall favorites, Texas. Man, this fucking field sucks. Every good team has players. Like, this is such a bummer. It's like there's no point in watching any other MTEs.
Brady Children's.
Like, obviously.
Battle for Atlantis.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. Children's actually is pretty good. Yeah. Florida, Providence, TCU, Wisconsin. Nick, TCU takes on Florida. No, but I mean, genuinely, it's like the best field on average of like any of them. Like,
the battle for Atlantis, I'm looking forward to.
Battle for Atlantis, who we got in that one? Colorado State, same. Oh yeah, are you looking forward to that one?
I am. If the Gales can win the battle for Atlantis,
I'm looking forward to the Ohio State MTE. That's actually, you got to get some heads on that one. Team Mount St. Mary's versus Western Michigan. Crunch time. It's such a bummer. All right, well, let's just focus on the players era then. Stop screwing the hell around. You got Gonzaga, Houston, Iowa State, Kansas. Kansas is dead, right? Are we in agreement on that? Or
They've been without
Self
Aaron
said
Peterson.
Today. Self said that what Peterson's making progress.
Really?
So I know he's out
when
for the
he
players
comes
era.
Back.
They're like two and yeah, they're gonna lose all the games in the players era, and then that's when you buy the stock. That's when you buy the stock. You wait there till the start.
There was a moment there where I thought Notre Dame was going to get him, and it was like, yeah, you can't. You can't go down to the wire with Notre Dame and expect to go on a run.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Now, Kansas, I will say Florida. Maduga looked awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Trey White's coming into his own.
Yeah. I don't know, guys.
All right.
Any other notes here before we call it?
I'm interested to see how good Gonzaga is. Because, like, they be what, Oklahoma and Creighton? And, like, those teams both suck. Like, Gonzaga's so high on every ranking right now. And I think they're a very good team. But, like, we've seen Bama pull off two big wins already and play tough competition. Like, we know Bama's good. And it'll be interesting to see how Gonzaga fares against them. So that's my most exciting game going forward. And then obviously see how the Frogs do against the reigning Natty champs.
Yeah, give me TCU in that one for sure.
Oh! I see what we're doing here. I see what we're doing here.
Dude, I feel like I'm left out of all the fun. It's like Ohio State doesn't play a real game until like Illinois in like mid-December. Like, this is fucking
boring. Like, this is such a tough. There's nothing to pay attention to this week.
They play a really good team tomorrow.
There's one thing this week, like, Ohio State doesn't get the spotlight of anything. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I honestly feel really bad for you. Like, there's no fan base I feel worse for than Ohio State fans right now. Like, it's, I don't
they
know. Like, it's.
Seen a good football or basketball game since the national championship last year, right? I mean, just by the schedule, I mean, good Lord.
That's a real question. Are you bored as an Ohio State football fan?
Do not say yes.
Like Saturdays come around and you're like,
do not say yes. There's no way.
I love it. I will never be bored of watching my team kick the shit out of whoever we're playing.
Besides,
and if I had to deal with a team that was losing week to week, I would. I don't know what I'd do.
That's not my team or Nick's. I mean, big wins this weekend. So.
Yeah, ranked win. I'm coming off a ranked win.
Let's go. Houston, big time. In another great man, this Niners game.
Yeah, Purdy.
Jesus fucking Christ! This guy sucks. That's
He's
a whole different conversation.
Be a real shame if the Niners were to lose.
Oh, it's just like, oh, because your new allegiances.
No, it'd be a real shame. No. No, never mind. You know, I'm a Niner guy.
Bang bang. All right, gents. Let's call it here. I think we should do a live this week, though. We'll obviously get that information out there as the time comes.
Yep.
But, yeah, I appreciate you guys hopping on. Good, always good to do the three-man pod.
Always
good. A lot of awesome games this week. It's the best week in the college basketball schedule, I'd say, other than March Madness. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Appreciate everyone listening. We got a big upset brewing in. Where is it? Is the game in Starkville? Starkville, as they would say. All right, gentlemen. The mid-range CBB on all platforms. College Core Talk. Nick Giramonte Nicky on Twitter. Weiss Jacob 04. The everything happens on X. Thank you guys so much for listening. Catch you next time.